2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
NBA Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com. Use the promo code PODCAST to get yourself 10% off each month of your monthly subscription. Yes, folks, we have changed that to 10%, no longer 20%. A lot of success going on, so we got to keep on with it. But, of course, go to DFSArmy.com. Use that promo code PODCAST for 10% off. You will get access to the Domination Station, which creates up to 150 lineups in one click. You also get VIP articles and tools to help customize those lineup creations. And, of course, the Slack chat channel, which is always open 24/7. Folks, DFSArmy.com, once again, is where you find all this stuff. I'm your host, Al Walsh. Find me on Twitter at 14A.Walsh. Find Keith Hall at Boomers DFS Daddy. My apologies to everyone for missing the last 2 days, but I think we could all hear I'm a little under the weather. Playing hurt today, but that's okay. Thanks to everybody for the well wishes, and also let just know how much people appreciate the podcast. You know, being away for 2 days.
Yeah, it's I don't like it because I have not cashed in a tournament since we've last done the podcast. So you are no longer allowed to take days off because this is like my it's part of my routine, man.
It really is. So, and you know me, I love to talk. So, you know, typing and typing away, that doesn't necessarily get it done. But the bit, like, you know me, like I listen to like Colin Cowherd, Michael Kay, shows like that. I mean, that's good radio right there. So I like, you know, I like to be in the lineup mix of good radio in the day as well. I don't like missing these days either, but you're right. It also adds another dynamic of research, which not only we didn't have, but a lot of other people as well. I mean, look, if I could have talked, I would have. You know, we heard me at the end of that show on Tuesday. It was, you know, we're lucky to have made it through there. So very, very excited to be back and get this all done. But we got to figure it out, too, because we got the holidays coming up. So a couple days will be lost there as well. So,
yeah, absolutely. It's well, I mean, really only one, because Christmas Day is on a Monday.
Well, I will be doing travel days after Christmas. I believe the 26th and the 27th I will be mobile.
All right. Well, I'll figure something out. I'll do like a Google Live or something like that. So yep. We'll be good to go.
Yes,
there will be something. I don't know what yet. So just kind of hold off on, you know, anything that we do. But yes, there will be some adjustments to the schedule the week after Christmas. Because I will be having some days where I won't be on the podcast either coming up. So,
oh no. Now, I mean, you know, with Keith not available, I will be doing the solo ones there and, you know, coming live from Miami. So I should be all brightened up and cleared up by then.
Now, is this going to go better than the last time you came live from Miami?
You would assume so, because I did go in the heart of hurricane season, and I'm no meteorologist, but that was the biggest hurricane I think, you know, anybody's ever seen. So, the odds of that happening this time around, probably not as good. So, I can't wait, though, man. I mean, like, I was golfing and shit down in Miami, right? And then all of a sudden, boom, like, no power, no nothing. It was just a bad trip. Remember, I was supposed to go see the Buccaneers at the Dolphins. Maybe that hurricane was a good thing, so I didn't have to go see them that, though.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Now that everything has been pointed to how it's been, so. And I actually got a chance to see Giancarlo Stanton as a Marlin for the last time while I was down there, so. Very cool stuff. All right, 11 games on today's slate. I'm already dizzy talking. You ever done that? Like, not really talk that much for 2 days, and then you get going, and then it's like, whoa.
Come on, man.
Holy Moses.
Come on, man.
Just saying.
So, no, I've never had that problem.
All right. It's fun. All right, let's start with the point guards. Your boy Russ Westbrook topping off the category here. But it's interesting. He takes on a Sixers team today who, I don't know if you've seen this on ESPN today, a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff going on with them. Pretty cool stuff.
Behind-the-scenes stuff yes. going on? Like, is that – should that scare me?
No. It's just a nice little caveat in talking about the Sixers here today.
Like,
but
they're gelling as a team. Or
no, like
Joel Embiid is, like, trolling everybody all the time, which is awesome, by the way. I'm not discounting that at all. I mean, why is behind-the-scenes stuff cool when it in regards to DFS? Like, I don't get the correlation.
It's not. I just brought it up.
Oh, okay.
You're the one that brought it into the mix, man.
Well, we're a DFS podcast, so
right. But we talk about sex, drugs, and rock and roll every now and again.
You might talk about sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I just talk about rock and roll.
You're just a good Christian. I know. All right. So with Russ here. Now this is interesting, right? So I've been using these turnover numbers here into play about, you know, how this could correlate into DFS, but Sixers, they do turn the ball over most in the NBA this season per game. So, a couple extra chances for Russ here to, you know, get some extra bonus points. It's worked with some other people earlier this week. The trends are real, folks. But how you liking Russ here in this game against the Sixers?
I mean, let's see. The last time the Thunder were in Philadelphia, I do believe Russ got the double bird.
Double bird from that gentleman with the glasses. Yes, I remember.
Yes, and
famous meme.
Yes. One of my favorites because the response that he had was just like, you know, and you can't see my face. I'm actually doing this right now on audio radio, but like he's just pointing, doing the little, you know, the Russ face. It's one of those things that, you know, Russ under 11K is in play. I'm not reading into the Paul George situation from Indy. I mean, look, guys, he gave his first 11 years or 8 years, 7 years, whatever, to Indy. He was a little rattled. If you don't think that he didn't care, then, you know, whatever. He kind of came back and played a little bit better than you know, in the last part of, we'll talk about this later, in the last part of the game, but, you know, it's Russ. He's got, you know, triple doubles coming out of his butt. He's going to be one of the top 3 to 4 scoring point guards, barring something drastic. It's one of those things that, you know, you've got to take into consideration. He's a guy that, in my opinion, should take over every game and allow Paul George and Carmelo Anthony to kind of follow, basically a la the Golden State game plan.
Sure.
That is how the Thunder are going to start to have more consistent success. Now, there's also another caveat to this as well. I think this is a great, great, great spot for Russ. But the question is, you know, who is he going to be on as far as defensive wise? Because I don't think that he's going to stick. I don't think he's going to have the game on or be on Ben Simmons. He might be a little bit, but you know, Robertson's going to be back. He's going to have a minutes restriction. I can promise you that Robertson's full job is going to be to shut down whoever he's on. They don't care about his offense. They don't need his offense. So that's going to lack the ability to have. Now, Russell still have a couple steals, but that's going to, I think, lack the ability to have more steals in there. Not being on Ben Simmons, because for everything that Ben Simmons does, he does turn the ball over a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Hence why Philly's leading the league in that category.
Exactly. So, it's, you know, Russ is Russ. I mean, I don't think we need to – he's definitely not a lock today. I hate that word, like DFS lock, and oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. I feel like I was the first one to say this, and it's just trickled down to everybody in the army.
You and me both have screamed it the whole time.
And shit, when somebody who's the locks today?
Russell. The locks? Okay, I'll tell you what a lock was. I'll tell you what a lock was.
Sheik Luke, Jadakiss, and the other guy.
Last year, Russ was a lock. You know, 2 years ago, 2 and 3 years ago, Russ without KD on those teams were locks. You don't have that situation anymore. Like in the NBA, there is not that situation day in and day out anymore. There are some very, very good plays, but as far as quote unquote locks, I don't think that those situations exist in the NBA the way it's currently constructed. So,
yeah, then some. All right, let's talk. Here's a game that I like tonight, and you know, we'll see the point guard battle center stage. But the Portland-Orlando game. So this could be Damian Lillard here against Elf Payton. Lillard actually had some he does have better numbers on the road this season, which is hysterical because we've always talked about how great he is at home. But, again, Orlando, seventh fastest pace in the NBA. They're in the bottom third in terms of defensive efficiency as well. So nice upgrade here for the Blazers in general. But I'm loving me some Dame Dollar tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I think, honestly – he could – I mean, I'm never going to doubt Russ going for 65-70, you know, but that's not something that you really kind of try to predict, at least now. But, like, if you want to just talk about dollar per point, because what's Dame on? Dame is 94 on DraftKings, and he's 95 on FanDuel. If you want to talk about, like, dollar per point, then – I think that Dame is probably the top option, which could honestly lower Russ's ownership just a little bit. Now, Russ is on the East Coast, so I doubt that it's going to be lowered too much. And I think that one of the popular pairing that you're going to have tonight, depending on how you know news breaks out and everything, is going to be a Damian Lillard-Russell Westbrook point guard option, because to get two guys that can go for 55 in your lineup – if some of this value that we think is going to open up does continue to open up, that could be a very, very nice little beeline straight to the cash line tonight. So,
indeed. All right, here's another situation. Probably, you know, if the Nets weren't on a back end of a back to back, this could be a nice game stack as well. But the Nets are up in Toronto tonight, so. Again, Nets back end back to back going into a different country. Now, going into a different country, you know, this isn't like the World Cup or anything like that. But, you know, it's still a little different because when teams go into Canada, they have to check in through customs and stuff like that. It's a little bit more of a pain in the ass. Again, this is the Nets who now will be without Damare Carroll tonight. Just, again, the situation not looking great for the Nets. But for the Raptors, again, they're going to have great matchups pretty much everywhere, especially point guard with Kyle Lowry. And I think even Van Fleet still comes into play with DeLon Wright out. So, I don't know. How do you feel about those guys?
I'm not playing Fred Van Fleet. I'm sorry.
Whoa.
I don't need to. I can go get other point guards for cheaper and are going to get more consistent minutes and put up more fantasy points. I mean...
But how many maybe of those teams are running up cheaper against the second fastest team in the NBA?
Okay. So if that's the case, why would I mean.
All right. With everything I've laid out, you would not – or everything that's been laid out, you don't think that Van Fleet's, like, 24 minutes could be, I don't know, pushed up a little bit? But that he's not going to get a lot of playing time tonight?
No, I think he's going to get about 24 minutes. That's about his right, 21, 22 minutes. But this is a guy that, you know, against Phoenix in 24 minutes only had 13.5. Against the Clippers in 23 minutes had 11. Sacramento, 21. Now Sacramento doesn't play fast anymore. But Like, I just don't. I don't need. I don't feel like I need to go to Fred VanVleet in order to get a low-owned, higher upside point guard.
Okay. Well, you know what's going on here, too, is that, you know, we're talking about the Raptors point guards in general, but you went to VanVleet first. So what about Lowry then, if no VanVleet?
Now, I like Lowry just because he's going to play more minutes, you know, and, you know, coming off of a dud the other night, he's still only 8,300. Did they raise his price? They did. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I like Kyle Lowry, and we'll talk about the other guys on the Raptors when we get to them. But, I mean, it's Kyle Lowry. Like, we know we know that Lowry's gonna have the ball, and it's a great, in my opinion, it's a great bounce back spot. I mean, how many people are gonna go back to him after he's put up two basic duds, you know, and one against Phoenix?
You know, that is a great way that you put it. Like, they dropped basic duds, right? Like a 20, like points in the 20s. That's a basic dud, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he almost broke 30 against Phoenix, almost. But this is a guy that we need in the 40s. Like
if he drops single digits, that's just a really shitty dud. Now, if he dropped in like the tens or the teens or something like that,
right?
I mean, that's more than a basic dud,
right? Exactly. But I mean, you've got, he's just kind of stuck in that mid range. You know what I mean? Like, can go to Kyrie Irving for $100 more. Chris Paul, we'll talk about him here in a minute. Damian Lillard, Russell Westbrook. You can go down to, you know, Jamal Murray against New Orleans at 5,700, I think is in play. I don't think you can sleep on Reggie Jackson again. I think he's a great, great recency bias play tonight. I mean, there's a lot of different ways that you can kind of go. I mean, Spencer Dinwiddie, somehow his price went down $100 after last. I mean, I know how, but I mean, you got Eric Bledsoe against Chicago. I mean, there are different ways that you can go tonight, and I don't think that Kyle Lowry's going to be highly owned, which makes him a perfect tournament play, in my opinion.
Gotcha. By the way, you just mentioned Spencer Dinwiddie. I was shocked. So, you know, for Toronto tonight with Kyle Lowry, Brooklyn's second best adjusted DVP matchup for point guards. But what I found interesting, just snooping around the interwebs yesterday, Spencer Dinwiddie, 12th best defensive real plus minus point guard in the league.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, since Brooklyn plays so fast, a lot of it has to do with the fact that the opponent is getting so many more possessions against them. Like, that's something that you've got to take into consideration, too. When you're talking about a guy or a team that's getting paced up, basically, I think he's in a great spot tonight. Like, I don't think that there's a clear-cut route at the point guard position tonight that I think there's multiple ways to skin the cat tonight. And that's why it makes for such a great, great, great tournament night on it.
I like it. All right. Any other point guards before we move on?
Yes, actually, I mentioned just in passing, Reggie Jackson, don't sleep on him. The guy that I'm, oh my God, I can't believe I'm going to say this. All right. Oh, I'm just going to spit it out.
Are you really?
Yeah. Andrew Harrison. Okay.
Not Mario Chalmers.
Well, see, Mario Chalmers, if Tyreke Evans – now, here, there's a caveat here. If Tyreke Evans plays tonight, you can't use Harrison. But if Evans is out, then I think they're both in play, to be completely honest. Okay. I think part of the – and now the question is how do you want to attack it? Because I think Mario Chalmers is obviously going to be lower owned, considering the situation. But I think a lot of people might chase Andrew Harrison. And if I'm not mistaken, Andrew Harrison shot like 68% from the field the other night, and had a couple blocks and steals. I'm trying to look right now. So, like, it was... It felt to me more like an outlier game against Washington than it did like a consistent, good game. Okay, so we had no blocks, no steal, or one steal. He shot 50% from 3-point and 67% from the field. He was 6 of 9 shooting. I mean, and he had 7 assists. If that's great, awesome for the price that we're paying for him. But do you really think like that's going to happen again? I mean, if it's going to, this is the matchup it's going to. Like, Atlanta is one of the better matchups for a point guard.
Third best.
You know, looking
at it right now.
You know, you look at Chalmers, he only shot 23% from the field, or 29% from the field.
He also only played, you know...
21 minutes.
Exactly.
And a lot of that had to do with the fact that, you know, Andrew Harrison was hot, and James Enos played some, or got some extended run. Like, we know what the rotation, the guys that are going to play significant minutes are going to be on Memphis. The problem is that they will play outside of, you know, Mark Gasol and Jamichael Green. Like, it's going to be a who's hot scenario. And it also depends on if Tyreke Evans not only plays, but if Chandler Parsons plays.
Yep.
Because he's, even though he's listed as probable on our sheet, he's still questionable.
Now, I wasn't sure of this. Maybe you could clear this up for me and a lot of folks, actually, but... last game. Now, again, I don't think the whole thing with Chalmers not doing well was that he wasn't starting. I mean, just because he comes off the bench doesn't mean that the guy's dead.
Yeah, no kidding.
Why? Like, I heard somebody say, and again, I don't know if it's true, but I found it interesting how without Evans in the lineup, I guess Chalmers doesn't do as well. I'm not sure.
You have a two-game sample size on that.
Okay. Again, Memphis basketball is not the main follow for me, going to be honest with you. But I didn't know if there was an exact correlation to that or if it was just, you know, randomness or whatever.
Yeah, you've got a two-game sample size on that.
And I wanted to explain, too, for Detroit. Now, again, I didn't see this, but our own Brandon Luce here in the Slack chat, he actually told everybody what was up last night. But with Ish Smith, I guess he got into quick foul trouble, and then that's how Langston Galloway ended up getting in a groove. And then, you know, he got hot, and Stan Van Gundy just stuck with him. That is why Ish Smith was basically irrelevant last night.
Ish Smith should not have been even like, guys. You got to understand, like, when I put out these initial projections, it's without any, like, I run, like, 9, 10, I can't remember how. I run a lot of sources for the finals on projections. I run bare-bone minimum to get it out as quickly as possible for you guys in the morning, you know. And then it updates throughout the day. Like, you can't completely always take what is on the initial. So Ish Smith should not have even been an option. Like, unless something happens to Reggie Jackson, Ish Smith is not an option. If Ish Smith beats you, then just lose. Don't try to chase it. Like, I'm not kidding.
But here's the thing, right? Actually, in a sense, Ish Smith was in play because you saw what Langston Galloway did. That was basically Ish right there. It's like Langston Galloway stepped out of his body.
And it could have easily been Reggie Jackson.
Yeah, sure.
Like,
but we knew the matchup was there against Atlanta. Point guards against Atlanta.
Somebody said that, you know, looking back on it, the ADVP for Atlanta wasn't the place to attack for the point. No, that's wrong. It was the place to attack.
The best.
It was the best.
It still
is. It just happened to be not one of the guys that we were on. You know, I mean, Langston Galloway only played 21 minutes.
33 fantasy, or 33 on FanDuel.
You know, that is huge, but you've got to sit there and look at it. Like, Reggie Jackson, like, he did nothing in the second half except stood out there on the court. Like, he had no rebounds. He's not a rebounding guard anyways, but, you know, and he only had 5 assists, and he only had 11 points. Like, I want to see this. I want to see what... Oops. I want to see what he shot from the field here. Box score. Reggie Jackson shot 45% from the field. He took 11 shots, guys. 11.
5 of 11.
Like, that is not bad at all. The problem was is he didn't, you know, this is something that he's normally around. Now, the last three games he hasn't, but, you know, he played bad two of those games. Like, Reggie Jackson was the right play. It's plain and simple. Like, in the previous five games before the Boston game, okay, when he was actually playing decently, he took 16, 14, 21, 13, 12 shots. Like, that's what he's going to do. Is he's going to take about 13 shots. 13 to 15 shots a game.
That's what I do, man.
So he was below that. You know, and a lot of it had to do with Langston Galloway getting hot. You know, I mean, Ish Smith came in for 1 minute and 6 seconds in the first period. Or, sorry. 1.72 minutes in the first quarter. And he got 1.5 fantasy points. He had a foul and an assist. Did not see the court for the rest of the half. Okay. And then he came in for like 3 minutes in the third quarter. And wait a second. It says that Ish only had one foul last night. How's that right? Because if that's right, then that means what Luce said last night was wrong.
Jeez.
No, he had 5 personal fouls. He's right. I don't know why that's not showing.
We had a moment. We had a momentary question on you there, Luce, but we figured it out. All right. So yeah, I mean, everything
it just doesn't show.
Broke down with the reason. All right, we good here?
Yeah, we're good.
All right, so shooting guards, we're moving on to. Sure, any other point guards?
I would
love a point guard discussion. I'm a big point guard. I'm a point guard guy.
Yeah. I don't think we need to sleep on Goran Dragic either. I think he could be a sneaky tournament play.
Interesting. All right, let's move it over to shooting guards, where we got Mr. James Harden going up against the Spurs. Now, this situation is actually one of the 10 commandments of the DFS Army. Thou shalt fade James Harden against the Spurs. However, last season, Harden did quite all right against these guys. Now, we even had a couple playoff matchups in there that we could take from. He did well in the regular season, though, anyway. However, the worst performance for Harden against the Spurs was actually the last one, that Game 6 of the playoffs that knocked the Rockets out of there. That was Game 6, right? Not Game 7.
Yeah, Game 6.
Game 6. So we've got that. All right, so with a new type of Harden going up against the Spurs, Chris Paul in the mix now, which really hasn't been that big a deal for Harden. Any interest here against the Spurs tonight?
I don't know.
Ooh.
Like, he averaged last year, last basketball season, he averaged 52 points against the Spurs. But he was doing, fantasy points. But he was doing everything, mind you. He was doing everything. Like, and it started out with a 50 point, and he progressively got better during the regular season. And the only reason I say during the regular season is because I think playoff basketball is a little bit different. You know, it's a little slower pace. You know, it's more, but
more meaningful minutes too.
Right, exactly. I think if you're doing like a 20 max or a 150 or something like that, I think you can put some exposure to Harden in there. However, I will not be. I will be going and getting Chris Paul and getting my exposure that way and then getting out. I think that's where I've pretty much decided. For two reasons. One, I'm thinking he's going to get Kawhi for about 20 minutes tonight.
Okay. This is Paul you're talking about?
No.
Harden.
Yes.
We'll get Kawhi for 20 minutes.
Yes. Wow. I think that's where, like, if I'm Pop, I think that's where I'm putting Harden or Kawhi. And I'll have to really go back and look at these games, but I want to say, okay, so the first two games of last season, he shot under 40% from the field. But he had the rebounds and the assists to go with it. One of those games he shot, he actually made 6 three-pointers.
Oh, my.
But he shot 65% from the field, too. So, like, Harden, if Harden's going to have a good game, he's going to do it with the peripheral stats. Like, I don't see him scoring 35 points if he's going to get 20 minutes of Kawhi. That's just kind of where I'm sitting tonight.
Now, keep in mind, holy shit. Did you just see them?
Oh, yeah, my God. I just saw it.
Carlos Santana. Not the guitar player, the first base utility.
Dude, that absolutely completely wrecks your team.
No, it'll be fine.
Where are you going to freaking put Rhys Hoskins?
Left field. Tommy Joseph, see ya. Sorry, bro. It's been real. But you know what's crazy is that Santana can catch. Tommy Joseph can catch. None of them catch anymore.
You can't put – oh, my God. You want to talk about – oh, you can't put Carlos Santana behind the plate.
Well, exactly what I said. None of them catch anymore. I'm just saying, somebody go throw some gear on, you know, like, jeez. Well, look, if Tommy Joseph is the one that has to go, then I'm
you would have better luck okay me catching for the Philadelphia Phillies than Carlos Santana.
Fair enough. I'm drawing a blank at who the hell's been catching.
Rupp,
Alfaro, guys like that. All right. But yeah, I know Carlos ain't catching, but yeah, I mean, whatever. You know, Tommy Joseph, it's been real. Now, let Carlos play first base. All right. Anywho, let's talk about some more shooting guards here. Gary Harris of the Denver Nuggets. Big fan of his tonight. Why? Well, New Orleans' best ADVP matchup for shooting guards this season.
This is the news that's going to break the slate. This is the news right here that's going to determine what we do.
Okay. Well, before we get to that, I just want to say, too, New Orleans also committing third most turnovers this season. Gary Harris averaging just under 2 steals per game. Big fan of this tonight.
You can't play Gary Harris if Will Barton plays.
I think you could do.
No, you can't. Not at the price that he's up at now. Wait.
What is Gary?
He's only 6,400. Never mind.
Okay.
That's not that bad.
Well,
I thought he was 7,400 at first. I'm sorry.
Orton missed that last game, correct?
Yep, that's why. Right. That's what I'm saying. This news right here is, and I have Barton as probable. Still a game time decision, but probable.
You know what else?
I doubt we know before lock on Gary Harris or on Will Barton because it's a back issue ish.
Backish.
But it could have just been a quote-unquote rest maintenance day because of the fact that he had been playing such heavy minutes. And then against Detroit, a game that they pretty much had in hand, you know, he quote unquote left with a back injury and then he sat out versus Boston.
Also a homecoming for Gary Harris that day in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Sparty.
I mean, it could have been a quote unquote maintenance rest day for Gary Harris. So
I mean, you look at Harris's numbers crazy now because I believe Jokic is going to be back tonight is questionable.
He just said at the press conference after shoot around that he would be playing tonight.
He is playing. All right, so then that kind of hurts him as well. Damn, man.
I think it hurts.
I mean, it's still a fantastic matchup.
I think it hurts Jamal Murray more than it hurts Gary Harris. I think Gary Harris is tied to Will Barton more than Nikola Jokic. But I think Jokic being back hurts Jamal Murray more.
They just need to sit Wilson Chandler's ass down, let Barton get those 3 minutes, and then Harris can be there at the two.
Oh, yeah. If Barton's back, you can't play Wilson Chandler. Of course, this is the night that he goes for 50.
Probably. All right. Because
he's still playing the minutes. He's just not get. He just doesn't get the usage that. I mean, I can't say that. I mean, he did go for 33.
Thanks for taking the crap on the Gary Harris parade route.
I'm not saying at 6,400. He's not a bad play. I don't think he's a cash game play at 6,400. Like we've been able to pretty much lock and load Gary Harris at the shooting guard position all season because we know that he's going to play the minutes. He's going to very rarely does he not produce. I mean, he's got
very solid.
You know, one game against Orlando where he had a bad game. You know, he had the game against Oklahoma City, but that's a tougher matchup. It's, you know, very, very rare does he not, you know, have at least a pretty decent game. Gary Harris is very rarely has been the guy that's going to hurt that tanks your night.
Yeah. Absolutely. So he's a good glue guy.
Yeah. There are other landmines that you have to watch out for. That's what's going to make the list. I think CJ McCollum's in a great spot.
Orlando. Yep.
I can't play DeMar DeRozan now at 9,100. I'd rather play Victor Oladipo against Detroit, but I'm not going there either.
Oladipo came back under five digits,
which was absolutely 100% predictable. I told you, I told everybody.
Yes.
I think I said 55 and then I lowered it down to 45 and I think he got what, a 36. So, you know, if you're going above 9K, it's James Harden, and that's in tournaments. I think Donovan Mitchell's in a good spot. He's going to take 28 shots. You know, he's going to get a lot of Marcus Smart defense. So expect at least probably about half of those to be contested. So it's not a, you know, standout. I think Nick Batum's in a good spot, depending on what happens with the Miami injury news. Shooting guard is kind of loaded, but it's going to depend on a lot of news. I mean, Andre Robertson's playing tonight, but he's going to be on a minutes restriction. So that, I would assume, takes away from J.J. Redick a little bit. Drew Holiday's in a good spot, but now you're playing with the round table of, you know, Rondo and AD and Boogie.
With basically a fully healthy roster now.
Yeah.
One that was decimated last week is now complete. There was another one. Milwaukee tonight against Chicago. You got some interesting pieces here. Chris Middleton, Malcolm Brogdon, both in play there against the Bulls. That's been a good ADDP position to attack the Bulls. Third best in the NBA this season, actually.
Yeah.
For shooting guards against the Bulls. Now, we'll say Milwaukee front end back-to-back tonight. They're at Houston tomorrow, so I'm sure they'll be placing a lot more importance on tomorrow's game. Some of these front end games
expect have been weird. That might be, like, I really want this game to stay close because I love Giannis tonight.
This would be good.
But if this game gets out of hand, expect them to pull back expect Jason Kidd to pull back on the minutes of these guys since they have to go to Houston tomorrow.
Okay.
A little bit. But, I mean, that'll kind of be, you know, factored into the minutes projections a little bit, depending on what the spread ends up at. Right now, this spread is at a 9, which is a little shocking to me.
Bulls have been playing very well, man.
They have, but very you would well. Think that with Milwaukee at home, it would be a little bit higher. Maybe
I
not.
I mean, 9's it's on the edge of ass kicking. It's just down the street from an ass kicker.
Yeah.
I don't know how many guys you have left to talk about, but I just wanted to mention Jeremy Lamb, by the way, sucks, you know, recently, but all that sucking has got him down to 4,600. He is not a 4,600 player, so one of these days he's going to pop off.
A couple tough matchups against Chris Paul and Paul George, Andre Robertson, Russell Westbrook. So, I mean, it's not a purpose on health, because he's playing 33, 21 minutes. So it's not the health factor. So that's a good sign. I see some guys asking about Caris LeVert with, Damari Carroll out. I don't know if I can go to a jump shooter on the back end of a back-to-back going into Toronto against DeMar DeRozan defense.
Yeah, I don't know that I would consider LeVert a jump shooter. I mean, he does a great job driving to the hole and everything like that. But
right, but what I mean is, like, what's the outlier in peripherals? What he did against Oklahoma City, 5-10? You know, he's going to get maybe 5-5. So at that, he's – and, I you know, if you project him on the high end, the ceiling end of steals – then you're looking at 2, so that's 6 points. So you need him to get around 20 real-life points.
I mean, I'm very impressed with what LeVert, you know, how he's, you know, capitalized off that great finish from last season. He came right back in this season just getting to work. But I'm not a fan of that price because I know that, like, that's his neighborhood right there, like probably, like, mid-20s, high-20s, something around there. That like, that's where he's from. A lot of these numbers that we're seeing, I mean, they're wonderful outliers that I'd love to see, but there's just some things like that OKC game. Spencer Dinwiddie was in a lot of foul trouble, and you know that's why he came into the game. One of those games against Atlanta, it was a good matchup. No Porzingis last night. A lot of guys on the Nets flourished there in the second half. So yeah, I think a lot of outliers. I don't like this outlook at all for the Nets tonight, but I think this might be the night that we could finally see Okafor, maybe Stauskas, maybe a little more minutes from Joe Harris. So.
I was thinking the Okafor thing. I think that this is probably the spot where you put him out there. You know, back into the back-to-back, you know, he's had what now, almost 2 weeks to kind of integrate into the system.
I think a week, but yeah, still enough time.
Yeah. I can't remember, like, all my days run together. But
yeah, no.
I think Bazemore's in play. I think Kent Bazemore. Now, this is a Sherry Maw game for Atlanta, but okay. I take that down a little bit because of the fact that there was not one Atlanta Hawk that played over 28 minutes last night.
Interesting. Yeah, they're another team that's getting their health back in order.
Yeah, I mean, you've got Bazemore, he played 23, just over 23. Plumlee played just over 23. Tarian just played under 24. Ersan played 27, and Schroeder played 28. So, I mean, they went deep in their bench last night. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that they were getting absolutely just blown out of the building. What is this line? They play Memphis, which has had its own problems. This line's only a 6-point spread. And Atlanta to Memphis isn't that bad of a travel.
Nuh-uh.
I think we might be able to attack, depending on what the injury news is, I think we might be able to attack a little bit from the Atlanta side. And I'm going to start with Kent Bazemore. Um, his ownership should be low going up, quote unquote, against Memphis. He only shot 2 for 10 last night. That's not what Kent Bazemore does. He's more of a right around a 42% shooter. Actually, 40%. So, I think I'd much rather go to Bazemore over guys like Caris LeVert, J.J. Redick, guys like that. So,
all right.
Is Eric Gordon in play?
Who's it, Eric?
No, he's not. Never mind. I was just thinking, without Mbah Moute, maybe he sees a couple more minutes. But yep. And I guess I want to go there.
Ariza is playing tonight, correct?
As far as I know, I didn't know he was questionable.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying because he missed last game. So
did he?
Yeah. Trevor Ariza? Man, I think he
didn't. He played 34 minutes against Charlotte.
He did. Why? We were talking about who gets Ariza's minutes. Why were we talking about that? Well, he was questionable, right? He had some sort of foot. We were talking about.
I don't remember that today.
Okay. This was on Wednesday.
I don't remember that, but okay.
All right, disregard. Trevor Ariza is healthy. He's in the game. Blah blah blah. All right, small forwards. Let's talk about him. We have not done so yet. So you already professed your love for the Greek tonight. Why so much in this game?
It's Chicago, and he does everything. I mean, he's basically their point guard. I say that he's basically their point guard. He also knows how to work off the ball now as well, with Eric Bledsoe working as the point guard. So that's and it's not something like he had to take a lot of times to adjust to, but he had to take a lot of time to adjust to it with Bledsoe actually running the offense. This is going to sound really, really crazy. I honestly think that Jason Kidd has got to be a candidate for Coach of the Year right now. How he's integrated these three guys very, very quickly in together. It's been pretty well and pretty good. Like, we don't have to worry about Jason Kidd and his rotations anymore. We know what it is. Like, we know how they're going to play. And it's been great.
Oh, boy. I mean, Jason Kidd for Coach of the Year, he's not getting my vote.
I said he needs to be in consideration.
I don't think any DFSer ever had, for whatever reason, ever had a Coach of the Year vote, Jason Kidd would not do well in that demographic. Just saying.
I think he'd do better this year than he would in years past.
Okay. I mean, I don't think he really has much of a choice, since he's got all these injuries that all these guys, you know, really just have to play. But it is impressive with how, you know, everything has been integrated. So I dig that. Yeah. So Greek against Chicago, of course, it's going to be a phenomenal, phenomenal play. Looking at some of the other names here, small forward though, not as appealing. So probably going to make Greek even more chalky. Who else can we go to in this spot?
I think the Jonathan Simmons run is over with Aaron Gordon back. Unfortunately. Chandler Parsons news is going to be something that's going to sway a lot of people. Who's out for Miami? Why is Josh Richardson popping off the page?
Because it's a good matchup, ADVP-wise. And let's see. Well, Hassan Whiteside. That's the thing.
There's somebody else.
Justice Winslow.
Justice Winslow is out. Okay. So, yeah, that makes sense. You think Covington is stuck on George tonight?
Covington will play, by the way. He missed the last one. Yeah, I would assume so. I mean,
I don't think J.J. Redick as much.
Who else would it be? J.J. Redick, Ben Simmons.
I was thinking maybe possibly Ben Simmons, because I think that Paul George is on Ben Simmons. I think after what the Timberwolves showed, a tough defender stuck on Ben Simmons can do, I think that's how people are going to start. If they've got like a lockdown defender like a Paul George or Andre Roberson, now they might give George a little bit of a break by sticking Roberson on him for a little bit, you know, when he's out there on the court. But I think Paul George's primary assignment is going to be Ben Simmons, which means that I don't know. I want to say this is a great bounce back spot for Paul George, but I don't like picking on Robert Covington.
No, definitely not.
What was Covington's injury, by the way? Do we remember? Back. Ooh. It was a bruise. Okay. It wasn't tightness or anything. It was just a bruise. Yeah, I don't know if I can go back to Paul George here, although he is cheap.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's how they teased it with him going into Indiana. They teased him being pretty cheap. What, 7,600, I believe, on FanDuel that night? Come on,
yeah,
man.
He's still 7,600.
I see the games. I love that Richardson play because, again, I mean, look, how many times would we think, oh, man, you know, going up against Charlotte, you know, that's just a terrible spot against MKG. And, you know, you look at ADVP, I mean, you know, it's not at the top of the list, but still a favorable matchup for small forwards this season against Charlotte. So
yeah, I mean, he's 4,600. He's going to play 32 minutes. He's already had a spike in production with Whiteside off the floor. Now you take Justice Winslow off the floor as well. I think that helps not only Josh Richardson, but it also helps James Johnson as well.
Do we just have a telepathic brain thing? Because I was going to say that.
Yeah.
Jeez, man. That's why we're the number one NBA podcast, folks. That's why. Yeah. I'm sure for other reasons too, but my goodness, man. Not a lot to love here at small forward today. Yeah, you mentioned with Aaron Gordon back, not only is that going to hurt Jonathan Simmons, but, you know,
Otto Porter's in play.
The Hazonia fella. That'll hurt him, too.
Yeah, ugh. Aaron Gordon being back, Mario Hazonia's off because he's – first off, he's 5K now, so –
Can we talk about him for a second here?
No, there's nothing to talk about.
No, I'm not in a good light. This is going to be total name-shaming right now on Mario Hazonia. So – the other day, you know, Hazonia was, what, probably like 25% owned and most – hell, even more. Like, he was chalk. So I know a lot of people in the Slack chat were saying, well, how come we weren't on Mario Hazonia? How come we weren't on Mario Hazonia? Keith, tell them why we weren't on Mario Hazonia.
Because he's had one other game like this in his whole freaking three-year NBA career.
Pow! I tried to scream as loud as I go, pow.
Like – you got to think, he played 31 minutes against Atlanta, who's one of the best matchup. Now, granted, the Clippers are a really, really good matchup as well. We'll talk about that here in a second. But he played 31 minutes, and he put up 21 fantasy points in 31 minutes. Like, he shot absolutely freaking out of his mind.
He had a couple blocks, too.
Yeah, three blocks and a steal. You can add that to it. So... yeah. Like, he's not going to get that run. Like, before the Atlanta game, he hadn't broken 15 minutes all season. He shot – I'm pulling it – it's up right now. I'm scrolling. He shot 55% from the field.
50.
Like, he also had freaking 9 rebounds. Like, this is not –
that's not Mario Hazonia.
No!
By the way, Mario Hazonia...
if you
Hazonia...
played him...
congrats. You know what's interesting? If I'm not mistaken, I believe Hazonia was drafted with the pick right after Porzingis.
He was!
He was, right? Yeah. I was there. I should have remembered.
I'd rather play Alan Crabb. Actually, there are some smaller, lower-end... small forwards that we can talk about tonight.
Okay, let's do so.
Sam Dekker, I think he's gonna play again tonight. Denzel Valentine. Giannis is going to be on Drew Holiday.
A lot of bodies in that rotation.
Denzel Valentine still plays 30 minutes.
I'm glad, but it's not comfortable.
I never said it was comfortable. I'm just talking about guys that are going to play a ton of minutes.
Has anything in DFS ever been comfortable?
No. Well, yeah, a couple things have. I think we can go back to Bojan Bogdanovic against Detroit.
Okay.
Because who was it here? Stanley Johnson has been relegated to like 15 minutes.
Oh my.
So I'm not really worried about it.
Is that Kennard picking up more minutes?
Kennard and Reggie Bullock.
Interesting. Here's one. Maba Mute gonna be out, as you meant. Is
please
that correct?
Don't say it. Yes. He's gonna be out 2 to 3 weeks, but please don't say it.
I mean, he's so cheap though.
He's got no upside.
I think he does.
Not in a game against the Spurs.
Well, let's say his name so the people don't get worried anymore. PJ Tucker.
I'd rather play CJ Miles. I don't want to play CJ Miles, but
who's playing the Nets?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, I'm just looking at the prices and the value here.
You can't do that.
I get it. I get the hesitation. Don't get me wrong. It's just, hey, I mean, look, didn't you
like if anybody sees
Denzel Valentine playing all these minutes?
Yeah,
right?
But he plays 35. But do you really think that PJ Tucker is going to play 30 minutes, 35 minutes?
I think he will play. I think he will get a lot more run than a guy like Ryan Anderson, say. I mean, I hate this matchup for the Rockets, right? Because, you know, they're going to have to go like LaMarcus Aldridge. Like, the Rockets really have nobody for him. Nobody.
Yeah,
I mean, like,
Trevor Ariza.
Maybe like Capella. Okay, Ariza is a guy to be there, but in terms of physicality with banging up with LMA, no shot in hell. But, I mean, it could be Capella, but that's if Gasol's off the floor.
No. I think
PJ Tucker is a guy that you could at least put there for a little bit and say, all right, like, you know, he works with what the rest of the Rockets are trying to do against the Spurs.
I think Tariq Black gets a little bit more run tonight.
Okay. See, all right. That's a guy I could get down with.
I don't think he's playable with DFS standards, but I think he does get more
Nene.
Run.
I'm forgetting all these
Nene
other
guys. Nene is another guy. I do think that Ryan Anderson sees a little bit more usage. And maybe he's locked into 30 minutes now rather than, you know, maybe Troy Williams gets some more run. I don't know if he's in the G League or not. I don't know what the active roster is. I mean, PJ Tucker's going to get some more minutes. Don't get me wrong. But I'm not comparing him to Denzel Valentine, who's going to get 30-plus. I think Trevor Ariza is obviously going to, you know, he's still pretty solidified. I don't think he's a bad cash game play. Because, I don't think that he sees Kawhi Leonard defense.
Right.
And all Kawhi's right. Only probably going to pay 20 minutes, guys. I know he's cheap. I know that he's got the potential in 20 minutes to go for 30. But you cannot play Kawhi Leonard. Not on a 20-minute restriction. It is not... It's not smart.
Yeah. That's the word I was going with, yeah.
For the Rockets...
2 more seconds, I was popping smart.
Okay, yeah, we'll talk about him here in a second. So, yeah, that's small forward.
All right, let's move it over to the power side of things. And, well, that leaves us with some pretty big names here at the top, where we got Anthony Davis going up against the Nuggets, which, actually, fantastic matchup for power forwards. And, of course, you got Ben Simmons, whose price has dropped drastically, all the way down to 9,200. All right, well, what are your initial thoughts on both guys here?
I think if you're going against one guy, it's Anthony Davis. Like, it's just, it's an absolute perfect spot. I know it's going into Denver. I don't think that I have to look and see what his ownership was the other night. I'm not sure, but I mean, his game log looks like crap, and he's going to have lower ownership because now, granted, he's not questionable, but he's going to have lower ownership just because of the fact that you've got guys like Giannis, Boogie, Embiid. You've got Harden, Russ. I mean, you've got all these guys. I think that Anthony Davis is the lowest of the five guys there, or six guys. Wait, one. Yeah, six guys over 11 or over 10K. And he's in a perfect spot. He's in a perfect spot to pair with Boogie. And it's just. It's a phenomenal spot. It's Denver. It's Denver. Like, this is the best matchup for a power forward.
This is it, folks.
So.
It's actually the second best. But
no, it's the best on tonight's slate. So, I mean.
This is it, folks. Not well, sort of. Nah, it's very close. It's very close to the top.
Like, and just because I'm willing to put my money on Anthony Davis over Ben Simmons because of the fact that, like I said, I think Ben Simmons gets Paul George.
Yeah, and you've also got the Robertson. Robertson, yeah.
So those are two elite defenders that I don't. You should not pick on. Now, if you're making multiple teams, obviously you can put Ben Simmons in a couple lineups because, I mean, he is very talented. He's very, very good. And you know, you've got he does have the ability to go for 60. But I don't think I'm gonna do it.
Ooh, I might try. All that sounds fantastic.
But I think people automatically assume that, you know, power forward going up against Carmelo Anthony, you know, plug and play. You know, because on FanDuel he's listed as a power forward. And people don't realize that, you know, even this far into the season, people don't realize that he's, you know, their point guard.
Yeah.
So
All right. Speaking of Carmelo Anthony,
not tonight.
He'll no. Well, he'll be in Philly tonight. But I'm a big fan. Now I know, you know, for everything that works out. But Dario Saric, he's the one that gets the fat, lazy, mellow matchup tonight. So it's intriguing because
for Saric or for Mello.
For Sarge.
Oh, yes, I agree.
Because here's the deal. There are a lot of things that work
unless
in Sarge's favor.
Unless they start Rashawn Holmes again.
Now, here's the thing. Embiid going to be matched up with Steven Adams. That's a tough matchup. We already talked about Ben Simmons, and he's got some tough matchups tonight. He's really not even a big shooter as it is anyway. So that's something that you don't have to worry about. Again, if it's going to be –
put him on the free throw line so much tonight, though.
Well, good, then get him the hell out of the game and let Sarge take over. But again, what I'm saying is there are plenty of matchups that are tough on the Sixers end that this actually puts Sarge like in the driver's seat for offense tonight.
Yeah, that's the only question I have is like Sarge, but
I know with Embiid it's tough to envision.
No, I'm not even worried about that because we've seen that Saric can hold his own now with Embiid in the lineup.
Yeah.
Now he gets more, but let's see here. So this is basically a three-man rotation at the 4 and 5 spot for the Sixers. It's Embiid, it's Holmes, and it is Saric. I think both Saric and I think all three of them are kind of in play.
Ooh.
I have yet to see. Now we know that when Embiid starts trolling guys, that he's really, really, you know, confident that he can just. I've yet to see Embiid troll Steven Adams.
Interesting. And he's Adams is a guy that, you know, he's taking.
He would troll back.
Oh yeah. It's a nice troll matchup, but interesting.
So, but I think both Holmes. I think all three of these guys are in play.
I get down with that. Hey, and I know in OKC, look, they're another team that's been turning the ball over as well. So, again, maybe some extra possibilities of steals. You know, it's there.
I would much rather play Embiid on DraftKings where he's 9,800 rather than 11K on FanDuel.
Sure.
But I don't mind it on FanDuel.
Okay. Again, too, Embiid considered questionable for this game, but
I think he plays.
Yeah, he should probably.
Do they play tomorrow?
Come on. Where's my damn chart? Philly? No, they don't. They had 2 days off before this game,
though. Okay, yeah, then he's playing tonight.
All right. We actually mentioned another good power forward earlier when we were talking about small forward, but James Johnson tonight of the Miami Heat. We were talking how he could possibly pick up some minutes even at the three tonight. I think all paths lead to him in big minutes tonight, regardless. But again, that's how his production is going to come.
Yeah, it's he can do multiple things. I'm not super excited about the price, but it's not going to shy me away from him if you know he fits. So, what are we? Oh gosh, I can't stand this guy. I can't, but we know he's going to play minutes and it's a decent matchup. What are we doing with John Henson?
John Henson. I mean, I'm, you know, Chicago's been pretty good ADVP against the center position this season. So,
yeah, but isn't he playing more five or more four right now?
I don't know. That is for our Bucks insiders, but
let's look and see what Thonmaker's done.
Yeah, not anywhere that I really woke up today saying, hey,
nope, you're right.
Let's go here.
If Lord, now, okay, here's a situation in the same game.
Okay.
If Lauri Markkanen went through practice yesterday, but he didn't take contact.
See, I'm not a big on guys that are non-contact.
Yeah. I don't think you can play him, but we need to know because if Lauri Markkanen plays, you can't play Mirotić. Now, they could do exactly what they did the last time and say Markkanen is available to play and not play him.
Right.
But
well, it matters. I mean, look, Milwaukee is the worst rebounding team in the NBA right now. So, you know, our boy, the Bobby Portis movement could get in the mix here.
And Chicago doesn't play tomorrow, so if they give him tonight off, they've got until looks like Monday. Yeah, their next game after tonight is Monday. So if Chicago, if they rest him tonight, he'll basically have like almost a week's full rest for that back. I wouldn't be surprised if he's quote unquote available. If he's available, this is how I'm going to handle it as of right now. If he's quote unquote available and not starting, I'm still going to fire at Mirotić.
All right.
Like I'm going to play it like they did the last time, Lauri Markkanen in tournaments anyways. Cause I think Mirotić has worked his way into where he's going to get minutes regardless. Now if Markkanen's announced out, then obviously you can play Mirotić and it brings Portis back into the mix. Mm-hmm. But if Lauri Markkanen starts, I'm off.
Yeah, although they could, sure.
Like that whole Bulls rotation just becomes a cluster. And that includes Denzel Valentine, David Nwaba. I think the only guys that are really locked into minutes would be like a Chris Dunn or Justin Holiday. I think those are the guys that are only, well, maybe not even Holiday. Chris Dunn's really the only one that's locked into minutes. If Markkanen plays, like that, we can count on.
All right. Here's one that I'm digging now. Al-Farouq Aminu. Okay, he's gonna get this fantastic matchup against Aaron Gordon, who still has not learned how to play defense yet in the NBA.
Yes.
So Aminu actually played 37 minutes last game. You look at the games before that, you know, since coming back from injury, 22, 25, 35, 31, 25, and then the 37 last game.
And he fills up the stat sheet.
Indeed. So, again, Nurkic questionable. Myers Leonard looks like he's going to play tonight. But, again, the matchup here is just so damn good.
You want to know why we didn't talk about Aaron Gordon? It's because of Alfred Kaminu. Yeah, it's because of Alfred Kaminu. On the other hand,
I saw who he was playing. On the other hand,
Alfred Kaminu is 100% in play because he's going up against Aaron Gordon, and he's the only guy in that front court that I want. I don't care. Unless Jusuf Nurkić is all of a sudden 100% completely healthy and doing backflips for dunks, he's the only guy I want.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
All right.
I think an interesting ping pong battle tonight is in that Atlanta Memphis game with John Collins and JaMychal Green.
Perhaps.
With that said,
I am not a JaMychal Green guy.
He's going to play the minutes, though. I mean, I don't think you have to go there. And you could definitely, he could play 28 minutes and give you a 9 like he did against the Knicks. But he could also go out there and play 37 minutes and give you a 30. And this is a great matchup. So he's got to be in the conversation. But John Collins, 19 minutes last night, if he's not going to be on some sort of restriction. And in that same aspect, I think that Ersan Ilyasova might be in play again tonight too. Remember, I talked about this. Even though it's a Sherry Ma game, none of these Hawks played over 28 minutes last night.
Still is their fifth game in 7 days, though.
It is. So
Jesus.
I would probably be leaning towards John Collins if I know that he's going to not be on some sort of restriction.
That's right, because it's only his second game in 2 days.
Yes. But, you know, it's not like you're taking a chance with him being sick or 5,900, too. So.
I dig. I don't have anything else, I don't think. Anything else for Serge Ibaka of the Raptors up against the Nets.
I think it's a chase spot. I think he's fine in cash games. I just think he's gonna be overowned going against the Nets after coming off that big game. You know, in an up and pace game. So
fair enough.
I don't mind it. I understand it. I just think I think the ownership is going to dictate me to go away from that.
Let's close it off with some centers in today's discussion. You know, we talked about Joel Embiid being questionable for this one, so that could be something to look out for. We've also got DeMarcus Cousins going to be in Denver tonight. Now, Jokic going to be back, going to make this an interesting matchup. So, I guess if you're looking at the top tier guys, who is it for you?
It's Boogie. I'm not worried. I'm not fading Boogie because Nikola Jokic.
Okay.
I'm just not doing it. It's not. You don't need to.
But don't you think that makes the? Don't you think that makes the matchup a little sweeter there for Anthony Davis?
Okay.
With Jokic there.
Do we really think that Nikola Jokic is going to really affect Boogie that much?
I mean, he's not Mason Plumlee, you know?
I agree. It's not as sweet of a matchup.
Right.
But it's still Boogie.
Oh, yeah. I hear you. Okay. Let's see. So, yeah, Jokic, Drummond back on the slate tonight in a great matchup against the Pacers. Drummond smashed last night. Actually, the cover guy on Walsh's wingmen last night was not the top point, the top raw point scorer, though. But thanks, Carl Anthony Towns. But, yeah, and then don't forget, too, you got Marcus Saul going up against the Atlanta Hawks. Possibly sans Tyreke Evans.
Yeah.
What are you laughing at, man?
I'm not fading Boogie.
The rest of the class.
I'm not fading Boogie against Jokic.
Oh, you're still laughing about that?
I pulled up what he's done against Jokic.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I'll take a look.
You need to.
I'll take All right, so what about any of these other matchups? Anything else? Oh, how about this one? Now, I'm not thrilled with the price, but I know this as a diehard Nets fan. Jonas Valanciunas just sticks it to us every single time. But 5,700 for a guy who's getting a little more minutes, you know, in there. Any interest there?
I mean, yeah, if he's going to play 27, 30 minutes, then I have interest, but I don't know how much I can count on that.
Last two games, let's go last three games for Valanciunas. 22, 27, 30 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about it with running backs who need to get into the flow of games. It looks like Val needs to get into the flow of games in order to really, really, really produce, and he's now at a higher price, but he is getting the minutes. I need to find out why. Why is he getting the minutes? Because it's not all of a sudden because Lucas Nogueira's out. Because Nogueira's been out for quite a while.
Right.
There's something else in this rotation that has changed. Maybe it could have been that, you know, Jakob Poeltl's gotten into foul trouble the last two games. Or that Pascal Siakam isn't playing as much. You know, there's some things in here that I need to look at, because if I can get 27 to 30 minutes out of Jonas Valanciunas against Brooklyn, then yes, I have a lot of interest. But I need to know, instead of just blindly going there, I need to know why. Is it an outlier, or are there reasons behind it, meaning that this is just what they're rolling with as far as the rotation right now? So.
Yeah, and honestly, what I think it is if you remember, he got hurt early on this season. He started playing, you know, kind of had some real shitty games, and then you saw what Toronto was doing. They were just kind of giving him if we're talking in terms of helpings of food, they only gave him one helping of food, you know. And now it seems like they're starting to put more on his plate. So. Yeah, I certainly think, it just seems like they wanted to get him more acclimated, you know, not give him as many minutes coming back from that injury. And now it seems like he's able to take it on. I mean, he's crushed in these great matchups recently, so this is another one. He always does in the Nets. It never fails. So there we go. As you can tell, my voice is kind of hitting the final gears here. So anything else before we get out of here?
I think Steven Adams is in play, obviously. Marc Gasol is in a great spot. I mean, there's a center is loaded tonight. And I honestly, I truly do believe, like we've talked about, that this is the game where Jahlil Okafor gets back into or gets actually some run. How much? Yeah. You can't – there's no way of knowing. I'm talking like two lineups maybe if you're running 150 out there tonight. Otherwise, he's untouchable until you know something. But don't be surprised if he comes out and plays 20 to 25 minutes.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is the spot to do it, folks. So let's go. All right, we all good?
Yep, we're all good.
Oh, my goodness. All right, thank you for tuning in to the Daily Dispatch today. If you want to become a member of the Army, do so by joining us at the website dfsarmy.com, and you can use the promo code podcast to get 10% off each month of your subscription going forward. Again, with that, you get access to the Domination Station, where you can build 150 lineups, VIP oracles and tools to help you customize any of your own lineups, and of course the Slack chat channel, which is open 24/7 for me, Keith, and the rest of the DFS Army. Have a great weekend. We go.
Peace out.